Can't tell for certain. I have never before had so much time to watch a grizzly bear's movements. Have never before seen how its sun-bleached fur quivers and vibrates in the light, as if each hair were alive. This is what the traditional Koyukon Athabascans, who hunted in these mountains for centuries, have long believed. Each hair on the grizzly is alive. They used to wait several years after killing a bear to use its hide. That's how long it took for all that life to leave the body. Beside me, on this rocky outcrop, 150 yards above the bear, Roman is napping. Roman Dial, ecologist, explorer, and arguably the most skilled outdoorsman in Alaska. He lies on his yellow sleeping pad, the wind rippling his white hair. Next to him, my tentmate Julia sits listening to the swallows. We are tired. It has been only 32 hours since the pilot deposited us in these mountains, the Brooks Range of Arctic Alaska, among the northernmost mountains in the world, but the bear has been following us for at least 26 of them.
Couldn't he have waited until, like, day 5 to come for us?
Whispered Russell, Roman's graduate student, 2 hours ago. We were hiding in a thicket of alders, and Roman shushed him. In the hours since, we have gathered rocks to throw at the bear. We've talked through escape strategies. If we can get past him and continue our journey west, we will have 2.5 months to reach the Arctic Ocean. 2.5 months to walk and raft 600 miles through the fastest warming region on the planet, which also happens to be a roadless wilderness the size of California. We've come to study a new forest that only a handful of people know exists, and which Roman believes may be the fastest migrating forest in the world, to peer into the future of northern Alaska, which is also, in a way, the future of life on Earth. Things are changing here in this land of all-day darkness and all-night light. Things have always changed here. You can see it in the ghastly fossils that fall out of riverbanks, in the stories native peoples tell, and in the smooth flanks of mountains, carved down by waves of ice that come and go over thousands of years. But this planet now seems to be warming faster than at any time since, at least, the invention of the written word, and the Arctic is warming about 3 times faster than the rest. Already, this is triggering a cascade of ecological and biogeochemical changes, which computer models say might radically compound warming the world over. The greatest remaining uncertainties, though, and the uncertainties remain great, cannot be resolved by computing power alone. Nor can the models tell us what these changes might mean for us, our children, and their children's children. To approach this mystery, one of the greatest of our age, takes time, context, and careful attention. It is hard and rare, especially these days, to pay this kind of attention. The realm our screens bring close is so captivating and so damn useful that it can be hard to put down for long enough to take a good look at the world itself. When I first arrived in Alaska 3 years ago, a 20-year-old from Los Angeles, I didn't even know how. I could walk for miles and miles through a strange land without ever encountering its strangeness, without ever leaving the nervous chatter of my own mind. I took pictures and notes constantly. Very little got through. It has taken many months in this place. A previous trek with Roman across the Eastern Brooks Range, a winter stay with permafrost scientist Kenji Yoshikawa at his off-grid cabin in the interior, and a trip with glaciologist Matt Nolan to the highest mountains in Arctic Alaska. To begin to learn how to pay this world its due. To begin to learn the patterns of its plants and animals, the changing rhythms of its weather and seasons, and the way time blows through it all, making a beautiful joke of our theories. I am still learning, but I have found that the story of change, here on the frontier of change, is far more complex than I could have imagined.